Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm hosting Zoe Ligon, a Detroit-based sex educator. We talk about how to prioritize your pleasure and step away from goal-oriented sex because, you know, it's not all about orgasms. We explain the important distinction between dildos and vibrators, not that you have to choose, and creative, mind-blowing ways to incorporate sex toys, the positive side of porn, why stocking up on good lube makes sex so much better, tips for choosing your first butt plug, plus finding your zen when rocking woman on top. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com because it's awesome. And Jamie's in charge of it, and she can tell you all about what's happening there, all the fun things on our site right now. What are your favorite blogs this week, Jamie?
Right now, we got a couple Ask Emily's on here, which are always good because, of course, you know, we love listening to Emily read them on the podcast, but we do get a lot in the inbox that we can't always get to. So we put some on the site and that's always fun.
Right.
So this one is Ask Emily how to fix my literal dry spell, because a lot of people assume that if you're wet, you're good to go. And if you're not, you're not aroused, but that's not always the case.
So not true. Right. Wetness is not an indicator of arousal.
So there are, yeah, not always, but there are ways to fix that with lube and with other things. So you can go on the site and look at that. There's also a cool one about modern dating.
Ooh, I love modern dating.
Yes. And about how there's just too many options to settle down. And there's some good things with that and some bad things with that. And just some things that are things, I think. But it's interesting to see how dating has changed because of technology.
Paradox of choice. It is. Too many choices. I know.
But also people are like also thinking more thoroughly.
I think that's good. I think that you need the experience of going out and dating people, not jumping right into relationships. People are just kind of trying to figure out the right kind of relationships that they want. But I think better take time dating than to jump into something that just doesn't work for you.
Exactly.
So also, you guys, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. I love our new newsletter format. It's a good time, right, Jane?
Oh, it is. No, it's super fun. It looks cooler. It looks like more colorful and hip.
Easy to read.
Easy to read.
Which I like.
We all know that, like, get flooded our inbox of different newsletters and things. However, this one, I do think it's fun and it's easy to navigate.
Right. And then, you know, like every week you're not going to miss any cool stuff happening on Sex with Emily. And you can also join us on social media. It's all at Sex with Emily on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter, because that's fun. And also sex hack videos. We've been doing a bunch of sex hacks videos. Jamie's been editing them, mm-hmm. shooting them. She's amazing. Check them all out everywhere.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. The full versions are on YouTube. If you guys haven't been to the YouTube page in a while, we have been adding to it. It's super fun. It's youtube.com/sexwithemily. And that's how you get the full video. Like on Instagram, you only get a minute. And
right. We give you a minute teaser, but YouTube's a whole thing. We've had our channel for a while, but we are putting new energy and life into it.
Mm-hmm.
So subscribe.
Oh, so yeah. So subscribe there.
To our channel.
Definitely.
Oh, should we talk about our March, April contest? I think you should tell everyone about it.
Oh, yes, because it's almost over. So it is called the O's of March contest, although we did give you until April 10th. Because we know that sometimes it's hard to think of something and you're like, oh crap, there was this contest I really wanted to enter, but March is over. Nope, we got some extra time for you. So, you know those moments where you're like, oh, like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Why wasn't I doing this before? Why did no one tell me about this? You know those moments.
Yes.
Have them in your sex and dating life, all aspects of your life. But we want to know what's going down with your O moments in the bedroom. So maybe you were like, oh, that's an erogenous zone? Like, what the hell? Since when?
Since
oh
when my God. Is my forearm an erogenous zone?
Exactly. Because
actually, it
changes.
It does change. We've never discovered them. Right.
You may be like, oh my God, sex toys? Not just for women?
No.
Not just for vaginas?
Not just for vaginas.
Oh my God. So we want to hear those moments. You can email feedback@sexwithemily with the subject title O's of March or aha moment. Either one, we will figure it out by April 10th and we will give you a super awesome prize.
That's right. Thanks, Jane. Zoe Ligon is awesome. She's here. She's a Detroit-based sex educator. We've been talking a lot about Detroit. Yes. Journalist and artist. And she is the proprietor of a progressive online store, Toy Emporium Spectrum Boutique. And you're just awesome. You're an artist, you're a writer, you're a creator. You're on this journey of being a sexologist, teacher. It seems like you're doing so many interesting things right now. So we met in the bathroom.
Yes, we did.
As many women do. Mm-hmm. There's many a friendship and many great conversations that happen in women's bathrooms.
But it was a bathroom at a sex toy expo is the added context.
Right. It wasn't like net at a bar.
Yeah, you were like looking at floggers and paddles. Right. Remember, I saw you in the sports sheets
you
booth.
You did. was that Emily over there in the sports sheets
Emily.
Booth? I was
Emily.
Hoping she'd flog me with their new, what's the new line called? Their new S&M Enchanted collection. Mm-hmm. But no, we met in the bathroom over lipstick. But we were talking. Yeah, I loved you. I adored you. I'm like, oh my God, you're doing sex. You're in Detroit.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got into this whole sex world. What was your pull?
The art actually is what got me into it. I was making collages as a teenager because I didn't have any other artistic talent and wanted to make visual art so badly. So I was like, oh, I can chop up and remix other images. Yeah. And as I turned 18, 19, I started coming across more like pinup-y and then like eventually led to smut mags and like a little bit more like amateur photo shoots. And I started really enjoying what I could do with images that were very much shot from the male gaze. But when I was able to remix them and kind of like put them into my own, whatever I thought was aesthetically pleasing, I was never trying to like send a message.
Right.
But people were like, oh, I love what you're doing, reclaiming bodies. And I'm like, yes, I guess I was inadvertently doing that. And I was just like working at a bar, going to school, studying psychology. I went to Fordham in Manhattan. And somebody was like, you know, I sell sex toys. And if you make art with like nudity and stuff, you'd probably also like selling sex toys. And it just so happened that I became orgasmic through vibrators. I wasn't able to bring myself to orgasm through partnered sex or with my hands. And discovering the magic wand specifically, like I was like, oh, I'm a power queen. And like, yeah, humans don't vibrate. So I need this tool.
Right.
So it was exciting. And it was nice to get like the money on the side of going to school. But it was really, I mean, right. I think you know how it can really quickly turn into therapy.
Right.
In a way, too. And since I was studying psychology, I was like, wait, this is a niche. Yeah. That I love.
So I had very similar experience in that I never had an orgasm until I didn't even know what orgasm. I wasn't even trying to have one. I was having bad sex. I said to my friends in Michigan when I was 20, I was like, okay, so sex is, you know, I was having sex with my boyfriend. Like, I dated him for 2 years. I'm like, you guys just let me in on the big deal about sex because I don't really get it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why aren't you having an orgasm? Like, I'm like, he's just coming in, pounding away at me mm-hmm. for like 20, you know,
that's what they're taught to do.
Yeah, he didn't know. And I was like, and it's not great. It's like, well, what about orgasm? I'm like, right. What do you mean? So I did. So I learned through a toy too initially. So now that you found toys, are you able to orgasm without toys?
You know, I definitely have. I think about it as like, it's, if I really want to spend time.
Not that it's good or bad.
No, just totally.
Just curious, because I love my toy.
That's interesting that you ask that question, because it has been a point of insecurity for me. Like, oh, like, I'm not X, Y.
Truly
not,
a woman if you can.
Yeah, it's like we're sold all these myths about what it means if you can or can't do, you know, have an orgasm without toys. I have been able to have orgasms without toys. They're just so few and far between. And at the end of the day, I'm really just kind of craving the vibration.
I know, it's
such a specific
thing.
Sensation. But I love that you are also a person like me that wasn't like masturbating all over the place as a 6-year-old. Like, I meet other sex educators and they're just like, I couldn't stop rubbing myself. And I'm like, well, isn't that dandy? I wish I knew what that was like.
This is what I say, dude. No, that's what I exactly. I'm like, okay, I was not like 6 and riding a bike and all of a sudden I had an orgasm, or taking a long shower or riding horse. I'm like, I rode horses. I took long showers. Like, I never had the orgasm. So same.
It didn't even cross my mind. And I didn't grow up in a conservative household. Like, I was always comfortable with my body and nudity, and it just wasn't on my radar. I do remember like realizing like, oh, like pressure on my clit feels good, but then I just for some reason didn't explore it. And maybe it just had to do with like, I was an only child. I didn't want to, like, I was like, nah, you know,
there's a lot going on too these days. It's stressful when you're growing. I just think I just fell asleep at night because I was anxious. Like, growing up was, like, household was rough. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm just going to bed. But now exploring it. So now you're like into this world where you have like, you know, you're educating and you're inspiring so many people, like young people, it sounds like.
Likewise, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude. Oh. Right. But I love what you're doing. Yes, baby, we're doing it. So we're going to be doing some videos, which people should watch in a little bit. They're going to be all over. So but exciting. I want to know about how, since you have gotten to this world, how your sex life has evolved and changed, like partnered sex. Well, and I just asked you to think about using toys or not, because people always, it just comes up lately, because I love toys too, and I'm always defending, like, people, I feel like for some people who have never used toys, I think, are like, they're wrong. I'm like, they're just an added, why just stick with this one? It's great if you can, but why not add different sensations? But I'm wondering how, since you've gotten to this world, how your sex life and partnered sex has changed at all since you...
Yeah, it's so funny, because even since I started selling sex toys, it wasn't until the last year or so that I really was like, no, damn it, I need a vibrator during penetrative intercourse. And because I am a wand person, it's a larger vibrator. And one of the pluses of it is that you get to like have that ergonomic grip on it.
Right.
So you can, you know, it's not going to slip out of your hand like a bullet. But it also, you know, you have to get into specific positions to angle it properly. And I definitely had partners who were maybe not intimidated, but were just like, this is a little bit frustrating and it's not doing anything for me. So meh. And it's like, well, those aren't the partners I want to be with.
Well, true. Leave them out. You want the guy who's like, that's so hot. Get your wand.
Totally.
And let me charge your wand for you and make sure that wand is charged. So we have sex. Like, that's the guy you want.
I'm so lazy. I only use the plug-in ones because I'm just the laziest person.
Do you have the rechargeable?
I do.
Okay. Good.
I'm a doxy wand person these days. I switch them all out. I have like every wand.
You do have every wand. I can't even teach. You know what? And I'm going to admit this on my show right now, right here. I bet you can teach me some things about you. You're the dildo duchess. I don't have that's your surname, AKA. So I don't know what, I don't talk about dildos a bunch. Seriously, I haven't used them. So can you tell me about, like, people even still don't know. A lot of people are like, what's the difference between a dildo and a vibrator?
Yes. Well, it is so confusing, because I'll have people be like, I want a dildo. And then through the course of our conversation, yes, because there are vibrating dildos. And then there are vibrators that are insertable or even look dildo-like, although a dildo can look like anything.
Right.
But the way I've categorize them, and I literally like categorize products on my site and have to be like, okay, what is this? Is it both? Is it one or the other? I describe a vibrator as something whose primary function is vibration, whereas a dildo's primary function is to be an insertable item.
Right.
So I think a really interesting example of something right in between is like the Fun Factory Big Boss. And Fun Factory makes a lot of insertable toys that have really direct vibration.
Right.
So I categorize those as both usually.
Yeah, you're right. Those ones, what are they? What was the one that...
The Astronics.
Astronics. Yes,
yeah, those are pulsators, yeah. But I
get it.
Categorize them as vibrators since people don't
have
the terminology.
I can geek out on
that.
Totally. Okay, I get it.
But it's also like if you have a dildo with like a bored out hole in the base for a bullet and yeah, it vibrates, but if you use it externally, it's going to be so diffused through all the thick silicone that it's not going to be as direct. So that's when I would categorize it as a dildo versus a vibrator.
But I'm just curious about, do you use them? Do you use dildos a lot? Are you more?
I do.
Vibrator?
Okay. Well, it's funny too because I am also a girth queen, which you know, add that to the power queen, and like everyone's like, yikes! I mean, not the people I want to be playing with. But it's like we're taught all these myths, and it's like it's not any individual's fault if they're like, well, isn't a big dildo gonna stretch you out?
Right.
Like nobody tells you that the vaginal opening doesn't work that way,
exactly.
And it's true. Like if I'm using a really girthy dildo several days in a row, back to back, you know, I might notice that my body does adapt to that, but then I take like a day or two of a break and it doesn't feel like anything happened.
Right.
It's temporary sensory perception that causes this myth of like, oh, and same things with vibrators, like it's going to desensitize
you. That bothers me. No, it's like anything. It's not going to desensitize your, it's going
they
to,
get addicted.
It's like anything. It's like, I think about it like when you're working out, like you can work out for one, then your body, what is it when you plateau?
Yeah, exactly.
Workout,
you know,
there you go. No longer lose weight if I just keep running. So I'm going to cross train. I think of mixing up your sex toys and your sex life, like cross training for your sex life, because you guys know who email me and who call into the show that your sex life has gotten boring at some point in your life. That has happened
all
to everybody.
Us.
But everybody thinks they're the first one. They're like, oh my God, I thought the world was flat. And now it's not. They're like, Emily, I know you. I've been listening to your show for a long time. I'm not sure I've heard this exact thing. I've lived with my partner now for 6 months and we're no longer having sex. I'm like, that's all we talk about.
Yeah,
so it happens. It gets boring. So why not look at it like a, I guess people are trying to poke holes in things that they're threatened by. So for example, don't poke holes in your toys or your condoms.
No.
But they're in the argument that toys are a threat to them and that toys are going to take over their, when really it's just adding some variety to your sex life. So I get that. But I like that you're just like addressing all these things because directly with people and with guys you're dating. Let's go back to that. So you're
Yes.
So how do you check their girth ahead of time? Or do you just have a girthy toy just in case? Would you date a guy with not a lot of girth, but you're like, dude, it's fine even if you're small?
Well, yeah.
Because I got a girthy dildo, yo.
Yeah, exactly. And I do
everything.
Find that it's like, yeah, I've never met a human who has the girth of the toys that I use.
Okay, right.
So it's not even like... Like, yes, girth is lovely, but it's also, I do find that everybody has a special talent.
Absolutely.
And furthermore, like after, if my partner has an orgasm before I do, I want them to be able to be like, okay, like I'm gonna like rub your arm while you play with yourself, or like I'll manipulate the dildo on you while you hold the vibrator.
Right.
And just like changing that template. And I think that porn has a lot to do with contributing to the flow that we're expected. Like it's blowjob, vaginal intercourse, anal intercourse, and cum shot. The end.
Exactly.
No, none of that.
You're right. I hate that it is so linear. That's what we see in sex, and that's why people don't know where to go. And I think of it like a dance. Like,
totally.
We have sex, like we, and then you pull out, and then maybe you go down on me for a really long time, and then we bring in a toy, and then maybe we finish. We don't even have to orgasm now, and then you go back to it.
Not being goal oriented is very important,
right?
Because then you just put a bunch of pressure on everybody involved, and if you don't meet those expectations, I mean, you're just setting yourself up for potential disappointment,
right? So I love that you're taking charge and that you're teaching this message online and with people you're dating. So how do you? Because I don't meet Michigan guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, I'm for sure, I remember one of the first blogs I ever wrote, which is a long time, but it was like, why high school sex still happens? And I just thought, all the sex I'm having with guys who have been out of high school for 15 years, 10 years, it's exactly the same, because we don't change that much. We do the same things if no one ever wakes us up to other ways of having sex. What do guys need to learn right now?
I think it's always a learning curve. Like, the first time you have sex with someone, I mean, sometimes it is mind-blowing, but it just gets better. And there's like a very vast learning curve when you understand what kind of stimulation somebody wants. And I find that my issue with people isn't usually with like the mechanics and more so the mindset of A, the fact that I'm a sex educator and what does it mean for them to be intimate with somebody who's like basically putting softcore nude images of themselves on the internet all the time in Michigan, you know?
Oh my God, if I never moved, you're right. I could be you.
That's more of what it is, actually.
So that's
it's the ethics stuff. Right. You're like the mental aspect of like, okay, you know, we're not going to have a relationship that fits into these heteronormative templates.
And exactly.
I do tend to lean monogamous on the spectrum of monogamous, non-monogamous. I do like to have a primary partner, but sometimes they're like a side dish.
Right.
And being able to find somebody who's okay with that and has a sex drive that complements mine in that way has been a difficult search. Right. I currently feel very satisfied with my partner back in Michigan. Hi.
Good. But,
but it's been really great. And I think that, you know, you say all the time, communication is lubrication. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't care what your body is like or who you are or what you do, if we can communicate, oh God, then it just fills in all those gaps.
Do you bring that then early on in the, if you could like focus on and teach kids, say, because you're
right.
What do you think that we need to, I don't even know how it should be taught. I've thought about this. I don't think it's the school's fault. I don't even think it's the parents' fault, because I don't think that kids even want to hear their parents talk about sex.
No, yeah.
And in the schools, they don't really. So what do you think you're hearing that people need to know right now? Like, what are the questions you're getting asked?
Well, we're talking about this later on, but I really think that porn is such a relevant
subject
simply because it does stand in for sex education. Kids are coming across porn before they're even at the age where comprehensive sex education would be introduced if it were to be in their school district. And without the added context of like, okay, like this is a performance, it is a fiction, this is not the way that real intimacy goes down. Without providing the context, a lot of people are making really incorrect takeaways.
Right.
And it's changing the way we're intimate with each other. And also, I do think that some of us rely so heavily on the visual stimuli, which can be great and inspiration, and an amazing part of our fantasies. But if we rely too heavily, like every time we masturbate, we look at porn and like,
it's just like the toys. Like you don't, you mix up the toys, mix up porn, sometimes use your imagination.
Because the brain is the biggest sex organ at the end of the day.
It so is.
I think communication is generally a really important thing. And that obviously transcends into consent and the ways we communicate around all types of relationships, not just sexual ones. I think just being reassured that there's nothing wrong with you and you're not broken if you feel a little bit different. And if you are feeling vulnerable, that's a great thing to look into and find the roots of maybe where that vulnerability is coming from, because you might learn more about yourself.
Vulnerability is so important. I think it's so hard, though, I mean, to be actually vulnerable with another human. What do you mean by informed intimacy?
Oh, where did I say that?
I don't
that?
Know, but I was like thinking, informed, we're talking about vulnerability intimacy. And we're talking about intimacy. Like, what does it mean to you? I guess just like,
what did like, I mean?
I don't know. See, who knows? But that's what, like, what about, we talk about being vulnerable. What about being intimate? And how do you think that toys, well, this is where it was leading my part about, maybe that's what you meant. How do you think that using like toys and product, like help couples with intimacy?
Right. Well, it's just like, you're turning your hands into a Swiss Army knife, essentially. Like, you have so many things available to you. And even just learning what you don't like is very informative. And you're sometimes it just is truly the process of elimination. I mean, the first vibrator I ever got was like a super soft vibration. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I guess vibrators aren't for me. This isn't doing it. And then I learned later on, like, no, girl, you got the softest.
Right.
Gentlest vibe. Not that those don't have a place in the world.
They
but
do. There's some people who are like, it's too. Yeah. That's what you learn. Some people are really sensitive. Some people, you know, they want the harder thing, the bigger thing. So it's okay to explore. And that's the other thing is that I think the problem with porn or just life is that we're not taught to explore. So had I just not taken into my own hands, or never, like, I didn't have a G-spot, or didn't like know where that was until I used toys.
Same.
So I assumed that it just wasn't there. I think we make assumptions that this is how sex should be. It only is missionary. It's only like doggy stuff. But I think that what I love about toys and bondage and all this stuff that you sensation plays, that you actually, are making your sex life just much more expansive, and you're learning so much about yourself, and then doing it with a partner is very intimate and being like, what can we learn together? So I guess I just, I hope, like, it sounds like the work that we're both, everyone's doing in our industry is like, let's shed some of that so you guys can actually, we're trying to help you, not take away. Why are you fighting with me about using, having to use a vibrator during sex when we're actually having sex? I'm pleased, you're pleased, and wait till I use a cock ring on you or penetrate you with this dildo and it's going to feel amazing on your prostate. How about that? So, like, totally. Let's just try to shed all the uptightedness. You could do that in Michigan right now.
I'm trying.
I know.
And I think it's not just porn, but
and everywhere, even, like, but like they need it. I get it.
I think that like mainstream media and just like romantic comedies and movies that depict relationships are not only showing primarily like heteronormative relationships, but monogamous relationships. And I think that, you know, some of us are, you know, genuinely monogamous, and some of us are more non-monogamous. It's a spectrum, like many things in sexuality. But it's like not having the template to work with of like, okay, what comes now? Or like, oh, I'm meeting my partner's other partner. What happens now?
People don't have a place to go for that. There's not a lot of great models of it that it actually works. People still doubt that that can actually work. Relationships that are open, and you don't have to be just sign up, blindly sign up.
Yeah, I also want to see like TV and movies that are representing non-traditional relationships, but the entire focus of the media isn't that it's non-monogamous. Like more just like, yeah, and they're non-monogamous as a side part. And and that's, you just don't see that represented.
No, you really don't see it. And in fact, I thought something was wrong for a long time. I was just saying, and now actually, you know, I've been in monogamy, long-term relationships, short-term, you know, serial monogamous, but I just really didn't, I've done everything. Open, closed.
I say I'm
cheated.
I used to cheat
a long time ago.
The most serial monogamous to non-monogamous person, because I'll just be like, I'm non-monogamous. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so in love with this new person. Let me just saddle up with them.
Until I'm not.
Yeah, never right.
Open this up. But it wasn't normal. Like, we're talking like in Michigan, like 20 years ago. So I was like,
I bet.
But I always felt that something was wrong with me. And now I realize that it just was never interesting to me to be with one person and to keep moving. But now I feel like I love that we just see more people talking about it and that it actually works, because monogamy does not work for everybody at all.
I think that there's like the folks in my community.
Not for everybody. It works for many, but not for everybody.
Yeah. And it's, you never force yourself to do anything you don't feel comfortable with, just like anal sex. If you don't want to do, like, don't do something because somebody else is like, I really want to do this.
Exactly. Like, okay. So do you get tons of questions about anal?
You know, not so much these days, actually. But yes, like, it's definitely like a standard question I'd get, but less so these days, honestly. Maybe because I think that there's a little bit more information specifically about anal
Right. Yeah, that's true.
It's good in talking about lube too, because while lube is great for everything, anal is like the one thing where the butt doesn't self-lubricate. You gotta have lube.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, give a shout out to our sponsors. Thanks for supporting them. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I feel like lube was like my biggest thing, like discovering lube for me. Because I was going to ask you this too. That was like a huge game changer
for me.
It was
for me as well.
Right? Like just always, like condom and lube. Condom, lube. Like they go together. Like if I go to the drugstore, I'm buying condoms, buy lube. Not that I buy the lube there because we were talking about in a meeting that, no, I wouldn't buy it at the drugstore. But I just meant like, I was trying to make this example to somebody. I'm like, don't buy lube in the, think about it this way. Don't buy lube at the drugstore. But if you go in for something,
it's better than nothing.
I was trying to think of like you buy shampoo, conditioner, you buy them both together. Right. Think of it that way because it does enhance sex.
Totally. And honestly, orgasm. How hot is it when you go into like somebody's bedroom for the first time and they have their own bottle of lube and you're like, you have the lube. And it's a brand I like. Exactly. Oh my goodness.
He's girthy. Let's see what a man would have to have for you to want to. Okay. He's a girthy man.
I mean, anything. Just be nice. Don't be toxically masculine. No toxic masculinity. And I'm sure we'll get along.
Okay, exactly. Well, how often do you mean, I'm sure, toxic.
It's my only requirement, don't honestly, at this point. Right. I'll take anything.
How do you feel about, but you probably, well, it sounds like your ex, you went through something. Did we talk about this on the air, off the air about your ex?
Honestly, it's okay. I think it's just been, honestly so much of me discovering myself too and being able to ask for what I need. Because while I've definitely been with folks who didn't give me the opportunity to ask for what I need, and I hold them accountable for that. But I know that on that same token, I, for a very long time, was not able to assert my needs. And I'm just so happy to be at a place where maybe I'm not able to say everything I need because maybe I'm still discovering things about myself, but I just feel comfortable putting it out there. And I think that I'm definitely a chronic over-apologizer, sometimes slipping into that passive femme role that, you know, if you're socialized to be a woman in this society is very just programmed into you. So I have this intense personality when I'm socializing, but then when I'm intimate with people, I really take the back seat and I'm like, I'm such a bottom.
I know, I'm the same way though. Yeah. I'm in charge of every other part of my life. Like I'm more passive when it comes. I mean, I'm not passive. I'm much more submissive. Yeah, I don't want to. Unless they want that, but I'm just so tired. Like I'm just busy in life and you want to just run. No, I don't want to say that. I mean, no, I understand that when you're a strong, dominant woman who's running a business and running a life, that it's nice to kind of have someone dominate, be in charge.
Totally.
But do you find, you were saying that the men that you're dating kind of expect you to teach them in that role because you are a sex educator, it just becomes a thing.
You know, okay, one person I was recently in a relationship with was aware of who I was as a sex educator when we got together. And I was like, oh, great, I'm not going to have to explain myself to you. You know about this.
Oh, they don't know.
But then when it came down to like my actual ideology, this person could not jam with that. It's like I find a lot of men who like want strong women and strong personalities. But then when they express their strong ideas, it challenges their worldview sometimes. Right. And obviously that's not all dudes, but this particular person was just like, I thought that you were just going to be a chill sex babe, you know? And I was just like,
you're
no,
like, I
honey.
There's nothing chill. Right.
There's, they probably this don't political even know, too, you
they
know?
They don't really know this though, like about sex positivity, what that even means. No. You're like, I think that they would know that. But you've also said like our sex negative society brainwashes women. I know you've talked a lot about this.
Yeah.
So can we talk about this for a second? What would you think about... Yeah. If you want to.
Totally. I do. It's just a really intense subject matter, especially in a post Me Too world where obviously this is all continuing to be part of the dialogue. I hope it just continues to blossom into more conversation. But I think that in the last year, a lot of women have been recontextualizing situations that felt strange, weird, and now we have like new vocabulary and new light shed on these things. And a lot of my previous partner, I had three previous partners of mine outed in 2017, and just
outed one, for me too.
Yeah. And it was really difficult because there was one outing that I chose to participate in because I did feel like I had been coerced into something. But then the other two men, I had consensual, you know, maybe there was like a blow up at the end, but it was consensual and fine in the context of me and them. But then I heard about all the other stuff they did to other people. And while I didn't have a story to add to that, I was in very close contact with the other women outing these people. Right. And it was really a jarring month. I believe that was, when was that even?
November.
Yeah. It was like late last year. Yeah. And I definitely went into a hole of just realizing like, okay, like I'm very aware of the upsetting things. Yeah. I'm very aware of the upsetting things that, you know, may have happened in my past, but like, oh, wow, there's so many times that there was consensual sex, but I just didn't think I could
say
leave.
No. Right.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I could say no, or I was just like, well, it's easier to just go through with this than to cause a stir.
Exactly.
As a woman, I don't want to cause
me dinner,
a stir.
Right? Like those
yeah,
things that
you
go
feel
through your head.
Obligated right. to do things that it doesn't work like it's, that.
It doesn't
no.
work like that, no. But that's what I love is that I, and even, you know, so you're in your 20s, so.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Right, 25, yeah. Right. So it's like, and I, you know, I've been going this forever that I love that it's just like, that's really not going to happen again. We have to tell other women that they don't have to, like, I didn't know moving to San Francisco when I was 22 and my first boss thought that he was in a, but there's been my whole life, there was men. It was inappropriate, not like in the touching, but just in the, I felt obligated or they had the power to make decisions around things. So I would have a lunch and they were flirty and mm-hmm. it was, that's just how men were always. Were you accepted it? And then there were also times where I'd go out with the guy a few times, I'd get back to his room or whatever it was, his apartment, mm-hmm. and it was easier to stay. Like the whole Aziz Ansari thing brings it up. Like it might have been easier just to stay and have mediocre sex and then leave because it's harder to leave. But now just to let women know and guys know that pay more attention in the moment to how you know, if people could just be more present. Like, what is, you could tell if, like, you could probably tell if, or maybe if they weren't so drunk that she wanted to leave, like in the Aziz thing. And maybe there were times that my body language was saying I wasn't comfortable, but guys are just in this mindset of go, go, you know, it's just, we're not connecting. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like society doesn't give them the tools to do
anything. It's not their fault because I love men. I love men and women. This
and
is
that's
just
what
like
you always
know.
Get, right? Like, it's like, oh, you're a feminist. So it means you hate men. Like, no, no, and no. Right. Like, how many times do we have to say this?
Right. We love men. We want them to be better. We want them to be better versions. It's just like, I'm trying to be a better version of myself. I was following along because I didn't know that it was okay to say no. It was normal. I was normalized behavior that wasn't normal.
And I think it's what really upsets me is that men are robbed of the ability to have platonic intimacy with other men, you know, without it meaning something else. And I think that's why contact sports are so popular in our society. But I think it's also just like, you are taught to be like, to wear the crown and be this solid, sturdy rock and like impenetrable force of you know, and obviously that's a huge overgeneralization, but then it just sets you up for failure. Society sets all of us for failure
exactly.
in that sense.
Exactly. We have to kind of relearn what we learned, kind of reprogram.
It just breaks my heart because I'm like, I do think that there are men who like need to like do better and they just are not trying. But I think that there's so many men that really are like, I'm doing the best I can and it's still not enough. What can I do?
Right.
And like my heart really goes out to those people who are like, I think most people are inherently good. And
you said your heart goes out to people who feel that way?
To people who... like have just been like struggling, but like just are never given the tools or opportunity to be different.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like my dad was a bit of a womanizer and that was like an upsetting realization to have after my dad passed. But I also was thinking about it and I was just like, okay, well, he had a stepdad who treated him like crap.
Exactly.
And he got beat up by him and he was raised in he was born in 1939.
Dad was right.
Yeah, and that doesn't make it okay that he was really problematic a lot of the time. Right. But I also... it's a contradiction.
No, we've
it's
all learned. Here's the thing. You look at your parents, like when we blame our parents for certain things, that's what our job, you guys, on the planet is to work through childhood issues. Sooner you do that, you can blame your parents and be mad at them, but then you eventually realize they did the best they could with the tools that they were given because they had parents who treated them in a certain way and that's why they act, because that's what they taught and that's why they treat you the way they treated you. So whatever your issues are, so you have to forgive them and realize that we all came from somewhere, and figuring that out and why we're here and working through them is the best work you can do. So in a way, yeah. I get it. So that's where men, so most men learn from their fathers.
I think so.
Who learn from their fathers or learn from you know, the brothers. And so
it is very generational too. I think that some older men, like definitely like the baby boomer generation, were taught to be men in such different ways. It's just, there's been such different roles, and like, obviously things are slowly getting more, even if it's not equal, we're talking about it.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, and while it's been such an upsetting conversation, but necessary, I think that there really are men in my sphere, at least, who I think are just becoming more aware,
right.
And more men who are like standing up and doing the explaining to other men, so I don't have to, for the millionth time as a victim, explain to them why their actions are wrong, you know,
right.
Just like when, like, I think that like a white person calling out another white person for being racist is like, you gotta just like call them out, because it's like we can't just be silent. And it's the same, I mean, obviously racism and sexism are completely different things, but
just call them out.
Exactly. Like you
just
need
don't be afraid to confront people right now.
It's not the victim's job to educate you. So, yeah. I want to see more allies. Just be an ally and a friend, you know?
I get it. Did you grow up in a religious background?
My dad was an atheist and my mom was a Jew. So okay. I was kind of an atheist Jew growing up.
Okay.
But, I mean, I actually minored in theology because I was so fascinated by the dynamics within religion that influence our brains and also sexuality.
Yeah, because we're hearing these. So there's a lot of shame around sex because we're taught that it's actually wrong unless we're married or just to touch ourselves. Yeah, unless it's for procreation or to never touch ourselves.
Right.
And then people still, or you're going to get pregnant. I know, I remember dating, you know, people who grew up in like, so you hear like every time you have sex, you feel like you're going to get the woman pregnant. You carry that kind of shame.
It's hard for me. And
tell me.
I gained about 40 pounds when I went to college, and I never like thought of myself as like, I never like even realized I was gaining weight until people started thinking I was pregnant, and I was not pregnant because I carried all my weight in my butt and my stomach. And I had people be like, very earnestly, like, congratulations. And I'd be like, what? And it was just like getting to the point where like, I had never seen myself as like, you know, heavier or whatever. And I, you know, I thought I was beautiful and I was getting laid real well, you know.
Like, that's amazing. But you were just like, I'm my sexy self. Like, you really didn't know, which I love.
And then I was like, wait, people genuinely think I am pregnant. And it was like, I mean, and it also made me realize like, oh yeah, you never assume somebody is pregnant. Even if they look 9 months pregnant, you just don't assume anything. And,
right. You wait until you like have confirmation.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
follow their cues.
Right. You're like, there's a reason and there's help. So what happened?
But I was also not taking care of myself. Like I didn't know how to cook for myself, and I was not exercising. Like I was walking around New York, but I wasn't exercising at all. And I'm so glad that I found different types of exercise that I love. Like, I genuinely love going on runs, and I love like yoga, of course. I like rock climbing now.
I love it.
But it's like just as much for my, it's just as much for my mental health as it is for like, you know, body stuff. But I will say that when I lost weight just by like eating better and like paying attention to it. And it sucks on the one hand that I was like, well, I need to change this. But at that point in time and the context of how it was affecting my life, it did feel like a change I wanted to make. And I did so in what I think was a healthy way for me. But I realized that when I lost a little bit of weight, I actually felt more nitpicky about my body because I was even closer to this like standard of what beauty is. Although like it's all so subjective,
exactly.
Right? And like I look at all shapes and sizes of body and I'm like, this person is beautiful. They're just being them. Yeah. And then
beautiful is when you are being truly.
Why don't
you.
I see that beauty in myself? Oh, because I've been taught to like not have any cellulite, even though it's just kind of a fact of life at this point, you know.
Women
like
have cellulite.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Get over it. Make cellulite beautiful again.
And it's like, I'm always going to be a pear. I'm not going to be a stick, and I shouldn't want to be something that I'm not.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but you feel like you were being shamed. People were saying stuff to you that you're pregnant. So did you feel like this shame around your body? Did you feel?
Yeah. Well, and it was like weird.
But then I understand it was healthy though. In a way, you're like, wait a minute.
I wasn't like crash dieting or anything. I was just like literally just like moving my body a little bit more and being mindful. Because I love food. Like I love it, like binge. Like I'm a binge eater. Not like in an unhealthy way, but like I can just like it's a really like beautiful hedonistic experience. Just like sex is. It's like obviously. Everything in moderation, but there is something really beautiful about indulging. It's like an indulgent experience. But when I lost the weight, also I was almost equally offended when people were like, "Oh, you look so great now," and I'm just like, "Excuse me, so I didn't look great back."
Exactly.
But, and it's also just like when somebody loses weight, sometimes it's because they're grieving, sometimes it's because they have an illness. It's not a good thing necessarily. Right,
exactly.
When
don't
you
say
lose
congratulations
weight.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like I've totally made that mistake myself. It's like, and it's okay. It's just like more like be aware and you know,
and your body. I think it's really about confidence. Of what I love here. I mean, it understands like you had to, you know, you weren't being as healthy, but also just, you know, I just hear from so many women who just are not, that they do still feel like they have to meet these certain standard of beauty, standard of norm, but just loving your body, that you really still always felt beautiful and you are beautiful in any
you
shape
too.
And form. And you're like, well, thank you. I'm saying, look how beautiful you are, really, in your body. But I get it, that I just want women and men to feel just, this is the thing that comes out in sex, is I think people are having a lot of disconnected, uninteresting sex because they're so obsessed with themselves and their bodies, and men are worried about their penises and women are worried about how they look. And if people could just like in the moment be like, oh my God, we are fucking right now and we're attracted to each other and it's hot and all that stuff, just let it go away. That's how the confidence builds, when you're like, I had amazing sex and I was not in my head and I was connected to my body and I know how it works and like pulled out a big vibrator, didn't feel bad about it.
Right.
I got what I needed.
And like bodies are like, they can be like really gross, but also like really beautiful
in their grossness. Exactly.
Yeah. Like I think funky body smells are delicious. My partner made, like, he like was like, I read an article that if you bring a shirt that belongs to your partner and smells like them, you'll feel like more relaxed. And I have like flight anxiety. So I was like huffing that shirt, you know,
I love it.
But I'm just like, it smells like BO. And I'm like, I love this. You know? Yeah, but it's also just
true.
Like, there's such a narrow frame of bodies depicted in mainstream porn too, and I think that also does contribute to like the very narrow set of beauty standards that like are like what vaginal lips are supposed to look like.
Oh, right.
And especially like if you're not playing with people who have anatomy that resembles yours, like you don't understand the wide variety of how bodies look. And it's so funny because like I think that people are getting, I do know that people are having cosmetic vulva surgery in increasing numbers right now, which like really breaks my heart, because I'm just like, do you know how much like I think long vaginal lips are so beautiful, and so are small ones, and like dark, like deep red, light pink, dark purple, whatever, like, you know, all.
It wasn't even a thing, right?
No,
people
and like anal bleaching, like.
Ouch. I know. It's all like, just if you're, and that's, see, I feel the same. If I was with someone and he was like, I love anal sex with you, it's amazing, but could we just go bleaching maybe on a Saturday, Sunday? And I'm like, I'd be like, or like, let's say a guy said that to me.
Right.
No, that's not my guy. Like, you're judging me in that level.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, I don't know. Like, look at me. I'd probably be like off to the next anal bleacher if my boyfriend said that to me right now.
Right,
but
right.
I'm just saying, because I love him. I'm like, if that's what you needed. But in
like,
general,
just give me a Groupon.
If there was a Groupon, I would do it. I would come on the show and talk about it.
No, yeah. It's there's nothing inherently wrong with it.
No,
it's just like, where is your intention with this? I think.
But that is, it's a weird one, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's body is different and beautiful. So that is something with porn that I'm just like, no, just the more, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, my best advice for everybody is to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
To breathe,
mm-hmm.
and to just whatever it takes to really be in the moment and present and love your body when you're masturbating and you're with someone else. So any kind of mindful masturbation practice, mindful sex practice that you can have to get all these messages out of your head and connect.
Yeah. And I'm so in my head, so.
Yeah, no, I am too. Like when I'm not having, I mean, even during sex, I am a lot, but
I keep my eyes closed. Like, I'll be like, and,
really?
And I'm just trying to keep my eyes open sometimes.
Because
I like
why
to like,
your
I focus.
What, do you, think,
like, I'm just
what
like,
are you focused on when your eyes are closed?
I don't know. I guess it just like removes the added stimuli so I can like focus on the physical sensations when my eyes are closed.
That's okay.
It's just like a reflex.
I mean, it's all okay.
Yeah.
But are you fantasizing, or are you focusing on like pumping your, what are you?
Yeah, I'm like literally just like the minute sensations happening are what I'm trying to hone in on.
That's what I always, the most important thing. And that's another reason why I do love toys, because it's just, well, for so many reasons, but it's the more you can pull yourself back into different sensations during sex, the easier it will be to stop the mind chatter.
Oh yeah, that mind chatter.
Oh, shut up. Stop it. Thank you for being here, Zoe Ligon, helping me here answer these emails. Okay, this is from Maddie, 23 in Missouri. Hi, Em. Oh, it's like I know her. Hi, Maddie. First off, thank you for being such a reliable and trustworthy source for all my sex and relationship questions. There's so much info available on the internet, but I only feel safe using products that you recommend and trust. Aw. I'm looking for my first butt plug, and I really have my heart set on a jewel plug. They are just the cutest. I'm a newbie to butt play, and I'm absolutely terrified the plug might get lost inside me. I've done my research and read the horror stories online. Is this more likely to happen with a jewel plug, or why do they seem so hard to find? I also want to be able to have vaginal sex with this jeweled plug inside of my rear, i.e. I don't want to have to hold on to it during vaginal sex for fear of sucking it in. What is a good plug that has a wide enough base where I feel absolutely confident, safe, that it won't get lost inside me, and where can I buy it? Whew, okay. So thank you, Maddie.
Tell them where you can buy it.
Yeah.
I don't have jewel plugs, but we got a bunch of flared base plugs.
What do you love?
Honestly, anything with a pointed tip will be a good toy. It doesn't matter so much the diameter. It really just depends on what your body is or isn't used to. But if it has a pointed tip, it's going to be so much more easy to insert than a blunt tip.
And a flared base, you shouldn't have to worry if it's a flared base with the jeweled. I mean,
I think that they are have. I mean, like what I think that the person's talking about is it does have a flared base as far as I know, because like the jewel's at the end and has got a really skinny neck. Yeah. And that should be fine. The truth of the matter is like anything could get lost if you like really tried hard enough to push it inside your body.
And there will be horror stories. Right. And there are people going to the emergency room every night for putting things in their butt they shouldn't.
It's got vacuum in there. That rectum is a vacuum pressure. Like, oh, no, right. It's not like the vaginal canal, which has a definite stopping point to it at the cervix.
Right. Exactly, honey. You know, so that's the truth. So I understand that there's a lot of great ones. What about the G-Pop and the G-Plug from FT London? I think they're on our site. They're really cool. They look like the ice cream cone.
Oh, swirly.
Swirly. And it's like really, the vibrations are really cool.
I have seen this.
It's
silicone. Yeah, pointed tip. If it vibrates, that helps.
Just give tips.
Yeah, if it has vibration, that helps relax the sphincters. Mm-hmm. But
go slow, use a lot of lube, and yes, the vibration can feel very good to work on the outside sphincter muscles, relax, breathe. The G plug 5. It's a little bigger.
Oh yeah, that looks like the shape of what I'm imagining the jewel plugs to look like.
But I think that you just got to play, sweetie, with a few and. And the jeweled ones that I like were the ones with the tails on it. You know, you go to the sex thing. What was it?
They got like Hello Kitty ones too. They got a lot of stuff.
But they do. I have a unicorn one.
Oh, the last thing that the person mentioned was having vaginal intercourse with the plug in. And that is really awesome. And especially if it's got like a more of a plump shape instead of like a smooth tapered shape, it will create like, I mean, the wall, the lining between the vaginal and anal canal is, you know, it's thick,
thin.
But yeah, I mean, like,
thin enough that you could have an orgasm.
Exactly. Right. There you go. So you're putting pressure on the G-spot as well, like indirectly through that lining. I was going to say it's not thick enough that you're going to like break through it. Like, because I've had people be like, wait, can I like break through?
Because you talk about the membrane, like, what am I break through?
No, but it is thin enough to feel. Thank you. I'm word salading now. but yeah, it is cool. And if it's a vibrating plug, perhaps the little bit of vibration on the penis or the dildo or fingers or whatever is going to feel
so
good.
Yeah. Just try it out. You're absolutely right. Because a lot of women can have orgasms because of that. Well, because of a lot of reasons, but if you don't know, if it's vibrating and it's the G-spot, it's just trifecta.
All the things.
This is from Rachel, 21, Wisconsin. Hello, my name is Rachel. Your podcast has truly made me so much more confident in my sexuality. Yay. Oh, Rachel, love that. Mm. I have two big things going on. Number one, this is in all caps, ready? I can't orgasm for the life of me. I've never had one, and it has honestly been so frustrating. I don't know what sex toys are best for this, and I was wondering if you had anything that would be helpful for me. I feel like I've tried everything. Number two, after having a sexually abusive boyfriend, my casual sex life has been struggling in one major way. I don't feel comfortable being on top, and I honestly feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. I would love some tips about being on top. I would be happy to exchange tips and vibrators for baked goods. I'm a great baker. Oh, we're so answering your question, Rachel.
Yeah.
You keep those... Keep those baked goods, honey. Yeah. But we're here to help you.
I'll take them.
That's fine. Sorry. Well, yeah, she can visit you in Michigan. Okay. So just chocolate chips, no nuts. So she's never had one. We talked about this. Oh, this is a great question. So, yeah, I get it. Which toys are best? I would say a clitoral toy.
Yeah, something versatile that you, even if
use
you like
different ways,
even if you don't plan on using it internally, having the option can be a cool way. So especially if you're like on a budget and you want to not buy a million different things.
What would you say?
Something that has a like a slim internal shape. Like I like the Pico Bong toys because they're not too expensive. It's Lalo's battery operated line. Or like the Svakum toys are pretty middle price point as well. But something that can be inserted, but also has direct vibration, not diffused vibration.
Right.
So
I like the I like the WeVibe Touch because
I love that WeVibe.
But that one I can insert too.
Oh god.
It's my favorite because I don't know, it just goes inside. If you need a little inside, it's got the tip and then the vibrations are you can, wherever you press it, the vibrations will go. And it's great for clitoral, but also your clitoral legs, your it took me a long time to realize that
the legs,
the clitoral legs, there's the clitoris internally. It's such a whole party going on that I didn't know about.
There wasn't any research until the 90s. So
is that why?
Yeah.
For reals?
Yeah. It was,
well, I'm so,
internal structure was discovered in the 90s. Or
talked about in an articulate way. Yeah. We knew about it a long time ago, but it's so true that a lot of my magic happens with the vibrations. Vibrator on like my labia.
Totally. Yeah. Labias.
Labias.
I also love to recommend books when, I mean, like it wasn't that long ago I was pre-orgasmic and
I know you're like, right?
Yeah. Sex for One by Betty Dodson was a really helpful book for me because like, I think that you can learn to become orgasmic with a partner or by yourself. You don't have to do it one way or the other. But I think that the more you know about your own body, the easier it is to give instruction to other people.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, this is getting to part two, but the more variety and ways you're able to stimulate yourself, the more comfortable you'll feel in new situations and new positions, like being on
top. Like being on top, so getting comfortable. I understand what you mean about being on top. Sometimes it can't, and I'm not sure, it sounds like more you're saying you don't know what you're like how to move.
Right.
Because I also think like, first of all, it's different for every woman, how we move. But I think like in porn, you see it like you're going up and down.
Right.
And for some women, that can be amazing if you're having clitoral stimulation. But to me, that's never really.
Yeah, like really riding it and grinding on it.
Grinding, and you got to grind
when
and go
you're
back
on
and
top,
forth.
Like you have a little bit more control over what's happening.
Right.
Not that the person lying down or, you know, on their back can't be active as well. But like, sexpert Tyomi, who she has a really great Twitter and YouTube videos about like riding, specifically riding. And she has like amazing videos where she like she's wearing clothes and so is like her like male demo bottom, but she's like
showing
riding.
How to move.
Yeah, and
but
I'm like,
because it's the grinding of the clip. Mm-hmm. So I think like just experience, right? Like you said, like knowing, right? We'll check out her videos.
She's amazing.
That's awesome. But I feel like the back and forth, it's just different for every woman. So knowing how you. If you need more clitoral stimulation, the grinding, moving in circles.
It's easy to use a vibrator when you're on top too, because you have that like perpendicular, or, you know, you can be lying, you know, parallel. Right. But if you're like sitting up more and you're holding a vibrator against your body, it literally is just like direct access or hands or, you know, just anything.
I love that.
Opening up.
Exactly. So I say practice doing your mindful masturbation and just get on top. Like everything with sex is about having the experience too. So getting past your fear, who's ever having sex with is so psyched that you're there and having sex with them. They're not even thinking there's a right way to be on top because there is no right way. So I want to say to you there, Rachel, that you get to figure it out now. This is fun. So I love that you're having casual sex, exploring yourself, spending more time to get what you like. So all I'm going to tell you is get on top. Use each casual sex partner as a opportunity to learn your body. So just think of it as like you're finding partners. They're lucky to be with you. You get to get on top and just play around and figure out what feels good in the moment.
Do what you want.
Right. So tips would be just do what you want. Play with people. Play with some.
If you're a book person, do a
books.
Book. Yeah. Or Audible.
You know, Audible.
Audible that book. Yeah.
Audible it. You're right. That is a great book. Sex for One.
Yeah, because it's not just like, do this, now do this. I mean, there are some instructive moments, but it's also just like... like reading Betty Dodson books, I'm just like, it's like my fun, wacky aunt is telling me what to do.
Right, exactly. No, I love Betty Dodson. That's great advice. And my mom, when I was not orgasmic, I was like 20, and I said to my mom, so yeah, Rachel, you're 21. I was 20. My mom yeah. bought me a book, Lonnie Barback, For Yourself. It's on my shelf over there, and told me I should smoke a joint.
Good.
But the books are great. Good so advice. Read. So I think it's education and experience are going to help you move things forward. Rachel, let me know how it goes. I'm so glad you're listening to the show. And Zoe will take your cookies, your baked goods, and we'll send your address. So thank you. Okay, this was awesome. That's a wrap. This Yay! Was so fun, Zoe.
Ooh, Zoe we have Ligon. So much in common, honestly.
I know. Like, we got to hang.
Yeah, for
real. We're going to hang.
Yeah.
I know. I have to go back to Michigan soon, or you should just come here. So Zoe Pila, how can people find you?
I am Thongria. On Twitter and Instagram.
And thirsty.
Oh, yes.
Thongria.
And my store is Shop Spectrum Boutique on Instagram and Shop Spectrum on Twitter.
Cool. We'll have this all on our website, too.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for being here. I had a blast.
Thank you for having me. Me, too.
It's great. Thanks. Me, too. In a good way.
Yes.
#Me, too. But let's take Me, too back for the
good
things.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I
like,
know.
You like lube. I like lube. Me, too.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I love you all. Thank you to everyone on my team. Thanks for subscribing and checking out the show on iTunes, because that's awesome, and reviewing the show. Was it good for you? Text Ask Emily to 797979.